This lecture, English Craft Aprons by Harry Mendoza, is the sixth of 20 lectures supplied to members of Quattro Coronati Correspondence Circle on audio cassette in 1989. Worshipful Brother Don Ray, the preceptor of the Linford Lodge of Research, was given permission for the transcription and including on the Linford website in July 2021. Copyright of the audio material is retained by Quattro Coronati Correspondence Circle.
You can probably recall the moment when you were first invested with the distinguishing badge of an entered apprentice Freemason. But have you considered why we wear the apron, or when the custom first started? Let's start by going back to the time of the operative Mason. There is evidence to show that the medieval stonemasons wore aprons whilst working. The apron was used for purely practical purposes, a covering to protect the body and garments of the wearer. It had to be strong, of a good size, and not too expensive. The most suitable material for the purpose at that time was leather. Our present-day apron is said to have been developed from the apron worn by the operative mason. But why should this have happened? Quite obviously, the workman would wear his apron whilst at work. But he would surely discard it when he went into the lodge, which, in those days, was a place where masons took their meals, rested, and settled their disputes. Later on, it became a kind of hostel and labour bureau. There would be no need for him to continue wearing his protective apron there. What then prompted the speculative mason to adopt an apron in his lodge? Perhaps the most likely explanation is that, like some of the tools of the operative mason, for example, the square, the level, the plumb rule and the trowel, the apron could easily be used as an emblem to emphasize some of the moral teachings that were now becoming associated with symbolic masonry. There are many references to the Masonic apron during the early part of the 18th century. One such can be found in a catchy verse from the song The Entered Apprentice. It goes, "'Tis this and 'tis that, they cannot tell what, why so many great men of the nation should aprons put on and make themselves one with a free and accepted mason." Another reference can be found in the best-known and most widely used, albeit unauthorized, Masonic Catechism of the 1730s, namely Pritchard's Masonry Dissected. In an introduction, Pritchard refers to the apron as that badge of honor which, as they term it, is more ancient and more honorable than is the star and garter. But in none of these early references to Masonic aprons is there any clue as to why the apron was adopted by speculative masons. Nor is there any reference to symbolism attaching to the apron. After the formation of the Premier Grand Lodge in 1717, we find references in the minutes of lodges to the purchase of leather aprons, and in 1737, we find notes in bylaws and minutes referring to fines being imposed on those who were unclothed, that is to say, without their aprons in lodges. An engraved portrait of the first Grand Master, Anthony Sayer, shows him wearing an apron. Only the upper part of the apron can be seen, and what appears to be the flap is raised. This is the earliest portrait of someone wearing a Masonic apron, though the frontispiece of the 1723 Constitutions shows a man carrying some long leather aprons and gloves. There are some examples of early aprons in the Museum at Freemasons Hall, London, which have a buttonhole in the flap, and these were obviously meant to be worn with a flap up, fastened to a waistcoat button. In the Grand Tailor's Office at Freemasons Hall, London, there is a painting of about 1738 of Andrew Montgomery, Garda of Ye Grand Lodge. He is wearing an apron with a flap down, and a buttonhole can clearly be seen in the flap. In an English Masonic exposure of 1768, the description of the Master Mason ceremony has these words. The master undid the flap of my apron, which was fastened to my waistcoat button, and told me that, in the quality of a master, I was at liberty to let it fall down. From this it would seem that the position of the flap indicated the Masonic grade of the wearer. The first written official reference to aprons is found in a Grand Lodge minute dated 17th of March, 1731. A resolution was passed that only the Grand Master, his deputy and wardens, and past Grand Officers should wear white leather aprons lined with blue silk. Stewards and past stewards should have their aprons lined with red silk, and masters and wardens of lodges could wear their aprons lined with white silk. No mention is made of aprons to be worn by other brethren. Lined seems to have meant bordered, the coloured border being sewn onto the edge of the apron. Later on, the width of the border was to assist in denoting the Masonic rank of the wearer, as it still does today, when the border should not be more than 2 inches for ranks up to Grand Officers, including Grand Stewards. From then, it should not be more than 3.5 inches. Leather aprons soon gave way to other materials, such as silk, satin, and linen. Despite the resolution passed in Grand Lodge, some masters and wardens lined or bordered their aprons with dark blue. The size and shape of the apron varied considerably. Generally speaking, however, it reduced in size, though many were larger than the apron worn today. Up to about the middle of the 18th century, aprons were, generally speaking, the property of the lodge. Brethren were given an apron as they entered the lodge, and it was the responsibility of the tiler to collect them after the meeting and ensure that they were locked away in an apron box. This is still the practice in some parts of Scotland, Europe, and America. Before long, the plain white apron became adorned with hand-painted or embroidered designs, many of which related to a variety of Masonic degrees. The embroidery on some aprons is quite intricate and beautifully done. Many members of lodges, owing allegiance to the Grand Lodge of the Ancients, decorated their aprons with the arms of their Grand Lodge. Examples can be seen in the museum at Freemasons Hall, London. Another practice of the ancients was to use gold lace on their aprons. This obviously did not meet with the approval of their Grand Lodge, for on the 2nd of September 1772, it passed a resolution banning gold decoration on aprons. The variety of aprons, in material, design, and shape, persisted right up to the union of the two Grand Lodges in 1813. Special aprons were not unknown, an example being the Moira apron, depicting the likeness of the Earl of Moira, acting Grand Master of the Premier Grand Lodge from 1790 to 1813, who did so much work for the union of the two Grand Lodges. It is worth mentioning another unusual apron that was being worn about this time. From 1757, it was the custom of the Premier Grand Lodge to hold an annual feast outside as well as inside London. careful organization was needed, so there was an annual appointment of country stewards. By 1789, the stewards of the country feast were seeking a special lodge. This was agreed to. They had the special privilege of wearing their jewel suspended from a green ribbon, the green representing the countryside. They then petitioned for the right to wear a white apron lined with green, quoting the red-lined apron of the Grand Stewards as a precedent. Grand Lodge agreed, but this was not confirmed at the next quarterly communication. They tried again and ran into all sorts of difficulties. Nevertheless, some of them did wear the green-lined apron, despite the lack of authority. Examples of these aprons are in the museum at Freemasons Hall, London. The lodge went out of existence in 1802, just after the country feasts were dropped, and no more country stewards were appointed. In 1814, just after the union of the two Grand Lodges, the new Board of Works made recommendations regarding the uniformity of clothing, all but one of which were adopted. For the first time, the material, design, form, and decoration of the apron were agreed, and the appropriate regulation appeared in the 1825 Book of Constitutions. The wording had remained virtually unchanged, though it was only in the 1940 edition that the words "and a flap" were added to the description of the apron for the entered apprentice. But as I have already mentioned, there is evidence to show that the apron always had a flap. Presumably the words were added to give a more accurate description of the apron. The origin of the rosettes on the apron, worn by fellow crafts and master masons, is not known. But the reason for their introduction was almost certainly to distinguish the Masonic grade of the wearer. Two rosettes for the candidate who had been passed to the second degree, and three for being raised to the third. It follows, therefore, that there really is no need for the flap of the entered apprentice's apron to be raised on his initiation, though this is still done in many lodges. In some constitutions, it is still customary for all but officers to wear a plain white leather apron, the Masonic grade being indicated by the way in which the apron is worn. For example, in some parts of America, and I quote Connecticut, the entered apprentice wears it with a flap up. The fellow craft wears it with a flap down, and the left-hand corner of the apron tucked in. The master mason wears it with a flap down and the apron spread. There are differences in other parts of America. The tassels are a natural development of the waist strings being tied and the ends hanging down in front of the apron. Examples of some early 18th century aprons show broad ribbon ties, the ends of which were edged with gold fringes, so that when tied to the front, the fringed edges gave the appearance of tassels. I referred earlier to the recommendation of the Board of Works in 1814. The one recommendation that was not adopted was that silver tassels should be worn on the fellow craft's apron. The first edition of the 1815 Book of Constitutions contained such a rule, but it did not appear in subsequent editions. It has been suggested that when present-day candidates are invested with the apron, the string should be tied to the front to remind us of the origin of the tassels. It might be of interest to note that aprons worn by acting grand officers in Grand Lodge do not have tassels. these aprons are the property of Grand Lodge. The reason they do not have tassels is not because Grand Lodge does not want them pinched. It is a tradition that has survived since early days. The squares or levels on the apron worn by the worshipful master and past masters were first mentioned in the Book of Constitutions published in 1815, though they had been in use before then. The design was for the purposes of distinction, to show that the wearer had been through or was occupying the chair of King Solomon. The design has been referred to by Grand Lodge as the Master's Emblems. Until 1884, they had to be of ribbon. Since then, they can be of silver or of ribbon. The apron worn by Grand Officers shows a wreath composed of a sprig of acacia on the sinister side and an ear of corn on the dexter side, within which is an emblem of their office. There is plenty of evidence to show that such aprons were being worn in the 19th century, but in point of fact, it was only in 1940 that the Book of Constitutions included the description of the wreath. Provincial and district grandmasters have embroidered pomegranates and lotus on their aprons. The deputy grandmaster has the square and compasses enclosing a five-pointed star in the center, plus the pomegranate and lotus, all fringed and embroidered with gold. The grandmaster has the blazing sun in the center, plus the pomegranate and lotus, and a seven-eared wheat at each corner, again all fringed and embroidered with gold. Generally speaking, the higher the Masonic rank, the more grand the dress apron. A distinctive and unusual apron is worn by members of the Prince of Wales's Lodge, number 259. They were granted the privilege from 1834 of wearing an apron with an internal border of garter blue, that is to say, light blue on the outside edge and dark blue on the inner edge. Present and past grand stewards of this lodge wear the dark blue on the inner edge of their crimson aprons. Special provision is made for this in Rule 265 of the Book of Constitutions. Turning now to symbolism. There are many who see all sorts of symbolism in the apron, in its color, its adornments, and even its fastenings. It is possible, indeed probable, that the Masonic apron used in speculative lodges was adopted because of the symbolism that could be attached to it. But we cannot be absolutely certain. What we can be sure of, though, is that over the years, some brethren have discovered more and more and yet more symbolism attaching to the apron. Let me quote a comment by a past master of Cratio Coronati Lodge, Brother Terence Hawch. Masonic symbolism is a fertile field in which equally fertile imaginations have in the past reaped an exotic harvest. Symbolism is attached to the actual form of the apron, its color, the position of its flap, the rosettes, the number and position of the tassels, and even the hook and clasp attached to the webbing belt. I'm sure there is no need for me to remind you of this symbolism. I will say, however, that the flap was not always triangular in shape. Many were semicircular. The webbing and belt replaced ribbon ties, and the number of tassels was not always seven. Indeed, I have seen present-day aprons with as many as 12 tassels. As to the colors, it is considered by some Masonic historians that they were chosen because of their association with various orders of chivalry. Blue being the color of the most noble order of the garter. red being the colour of the most honourable order of the Bath, and green, for Scotland, being the colour of the most ancient and most honourable order of the Thistle. What is certain is that colour came first, and Masonic symbolism came later. Our present-day Freemasonry is essentially speculative, and each one of us will find his own interpretation of the apron and its practical and decorative features. Some will find more symbolism than others, but let's not exaggerate. There's much to be said for keeping to the simple wording found in most of our rituals. But in addition to the symbolism, I think we should remember and let others know the authentic reason for the apron and its decorative features. This talk has been confined to English craft aprons, from that worn by the entered apprentice to the beautifully decorated apron worn by the Grand Master. Practically all the affiliated degrees have their own aprons, each with its own pattern and style, often embellished with emblems pertaining to the degree or order, and a variety of colours is used. But however colourful, however ornate the apron might be, all of them stem from an original source, the plain white apron worn by the operative mason, which is exemplified by the apron worn by the entered apprentice.